Well, again, I just want to say thank you to everybody for serving, not just yesterday, but there's a bunch of people here that served a lot of this week and the week before, and there's so much planning and getting and going and stuff that has to happen for something that happened yesterday. I just want to say well done, good and faithful servants. Thank you for what you guys did. Yep, that's it. Because the devil wants to try to discourage us, so we got to be good at encouraging ourselves. So Revelation 12, verse 11 says this, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death." And obviously this is in Revelation, and it's actually talking about us who overcome the devil because of our faith in Jesus Christ. So there's two things that we overcome with, whether that's, you name whatever you're battling in your life or the things that you've overcome with. There's two things, basically. It's by our word of our testimony, and then by the blood of the Lamb. Because I've seen God do some amazing things in my life and people's lives in this church. I mean, I have like a different testimony for just about every person I'm looking at, and I know things that God's done in your lives and what he's done for you. And that was all done by the blood of the Lamb. You know how we overcome, though, the situations that we're all going to fight today or this week? We overcome them by reminding ourselves of the blood of the Lamb that brings us our victory, but also remind ourselves of our testimonies. All of us, when we bump into that wall this week, and guess what? All of us are going to bump into something this week. There's going to be adversity, whether that's our own emotions or it's in a relationship, it's at work, neighbors, you name it. All of us are going to bump into something. And when we do, I want to encourage us, including myself, you know what? Jesus died for me. I'm already washed whiter than snow. I've already been guaranteed an entrance into heaven when I die. No matter how I go, I'm ready to go. And by the way, I've watched this same God that I'm counting on now. I've watched him change my family tree. I've watched him set me free of so many different things. I watched him heal my dad of cancer. I could go on and on and on. How about you guys? Just think for a second. The stuff that you've seen God do in your life. Think of the big stuff. Because sometimes it's kind of like, you know, when you're driving in a car, you go past a big building. As you keep driving, that building gets smaller and smaller and smaller in perspective. In reality, it's still a 30-floor skyscraper. But our perspective is, it's, oh, that's just a little speck in the mirror. Yeah, I don't even remember how big that was. We have to remind ourselves. Go back and look at some of the biggest things God's done in your life. Think about those things. Remind yourself. Call up a friend and say, hey, you know what? I just want to have someone else hear about God's faithfulness. All of us are going to be talking to somebody this week. Find an excuse to bring something of God's faithfulness into that conversation. I'll guarantee you, you'll be encouraged and so will they. Amen? So, well, don't shout me down. Amen. There we go. Hey, there's no visitors here today. We can get crazy, you know? We can just get loud and just obnoxious and you know what? We can just go for it. So, amen. Come on. So, okay, hecklers will be removed, though. Yeah, handy. Okay, if you can keep your finger on Revelation 12:11, maybe put your bulletin there, and then go with me to Romans chapter 8. Great song picks today, Lois. She's already gone serving in another area. I mean, some of these songs we sang word for word, what I'm going to read right now. We're going to go to Romans chapter 8, and then we're going to start at verse 31. The whole chapter of Romans 8 is amazing. It's astounding. If you have time today, maybe you can make time today or this week, go back and read the whole chapter of Romans 8. It's just amazing. And then in your own mind, while you're reading that chapter, ask yourself this question. Okay, what are the 12 most important verses in this chapter? Good luck. That's all I can tell you. Good luck. I'm hoping to go over these, 8 verses today. It's just, the whole chapter is just chock-a-block full. So we're going to start with Romans 8, verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So, in context of, we're saying, if God's for us, well, is he for us? Well, if he's for us, How can he not give us all things? He already gave us his son. Is there any other greater proof on this planet that somebody's totally for you besides giving you one of their kids, having one of their kids die for you? There's no other greater display how someone loves you. That's where Romans 8:31, that's where this passage starts out. Verse 33, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? God's the judge. It's God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? He's comparing the devil with God's love, because the devil comes and he tries to accuse us. He tries to condemn us. He's the one that thinks he can judge us. He tries to convince us he can judge us. And so he tries to slime us. And Paul's being very clear about it. It's like, now hold on a second. What else can we say about all this stuff? Shall not he who gave his son also give us all things? Verse 33, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It's God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It's Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who's even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? It's kind of like he's trying to name anything and everything that all of us go through on a daily basis. Now, I don't think too many of us here are so poor we're having trouble clothing ourselves, so that's probably not a big part for all of us. But I'll bet all of us are going through some kind of tribulation and distress and even persecution. I don't think people are all throwing rocks at us because we're Christians, but a lot of us have loved ones that don't love God and take it out on us. And we get persecuted for our love of God. So Paul's saying, hey, in the midst of all this stuff, nobody can separate us from the love of God. Verse 36, for it is written, for your sake we're killed all day long. We're accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded, I am convinced, that neither death nor life, again, here he goes, he's going to try to think every possible word, every possible description, so that we are completely settled in this. He says, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers. Angels are angels, angels of heaven. Principalities and powers are demons and devils. So you've got these death and life, extreme. Angels and devils, extremes. Nor things present, nor things to come. That covers everything. Nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Many of the people in Paul's, in his crowd at the time that he was speaking to, they worshipped the stars. Many of them would worship the constellation, different stars. So in the original language, when Paul says, not height nor depth, in that terminology, to those people, those star worshipers, they would have heard him say, not the farthest star, all the way to the closest moon, nothing. And that huge size difference can stop the love of God in our lives. He tries to use the most extreme extremes to convince us of what he's already convinced of. He says, I'm completely persuaded. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. Well, if God is for us, which he starts out and he proves that God is for us. I like how he says, if God's for us, who can be against us? You guys know Dave Lemmer. You know what he says. Dave Lemmer says, if God's for us, everyone else might as well be. I kind of like that way too. So Paul starts out with this whole thing, and it's like, it's so extreme how God has gone literally to the end of the earth to provide salvation for us for his crazy love, that nothing can prevent us from being close to him through that love. Now, any word I can come up with, any phrase I can come up with, but I'll just try to do some extreme things to try to convince you guys, to fully persuade you guys that you're completely saved with God and you got this amazing call on your life through the love of God. I want to persuade you of this. In the world, sometimes, you ever hear this phrase, you win some, you lose some? Not with God. You win some and you win some. That's how it is with God. Now, sometimes our victories don't look like the victory we started out with. This is what I'm praying for and this is what I want to look for. Later on, we come to the end of that and it's like, oh, Lord, I just thank you. This is so amazing. And you remember, oh, but I was praying for that thing, and you actually gave me this thing. Oh, Lord, thank you for not giving me what I asked for. Thank you for vetoing my choice and give me what was actually better. I appreciate that, Lord. Verses 31 through 36, Paul lists all the different things that come at us. Now, you don't have to raise your hand, but just on the inside, just think about this. Are you going through any of this stuff right now? Are you going through any tribulation? You know, tribulation is just like up and downs, up and downs, up and downs. Are you going through up and downs at work? Can you have a good hour at work and then a bad hour at work? Are you going through up and downs with maybe a loved one, a sibling or a child where it's going pretty good and then they forget and all of a sudden they come down another bad case of stupids and they start treating you bad again and then it gets good again. It's up and down. Tribulation or distress, I mean, those two, that's the same coin, one side and the other. Because when you go through tribulation, aren't you distressed? It's almost like Paul's like, okay, I'm going to use these extremes, but some of these are going to be repeat words because I want to make sure I connect with everybody here. This is a thorough thing, and I want you completely and thoroughly convinced, persuaded. If it was me putting down these things as I think about me and my family and you guys, what we all go through, think about some of these things that distress us or cause tribulation. How about bills? I bet right now some of us, we got bills that are kind of traumatizing us. Or jobs, or relationship in those jobs, or family relationships, or health issues, or even future worries. What's going to happen tomorrow? What's going to happen this week? What's going to happen the rest of this year? What's coming up with next year? All of us have these different things that are always trying to steal the peace and the love of God from us. And so Paul, he's like, I just want to convince you of these things. God's Son died for you, and if God's for you that much, what does it matter if anybody else is against you? In the perspective of how huge God is, he's bigger than life and death. He's bigger than this and that. He's bigger than this and that. He's bigger than every way that he could try to come up with anything immeasurable. He says God's bigger than all these things. Now, if he's for us, why are we letting the devil whisper in our ear? Who is it that's condemning you? I'll bet you already today, all of us had a little voice in our head saying, you didn't quite do that good enough. You shouldn't have done that. You should have done this. You shouldn't have done that long. You should have done that longer. Do you know sometimes when I get done preaching, this voice over here and this voice over here, this one's saying, oh, you said too much. This voice saying, you said too little. At the same time, if I'll bite on either one, guess what'll echo in my head the rest of the day? Paul says, who is it that's accusing you? The only one that can accuse you is Jesus. He already died for you. He's not accusing you. Well, who is it that's condemning you? Christ already died and rose again. The debt's been paid in full. These few verses that we're reading, again, I encourage you, put this in the context of Romans 8. It's awesome. We're born of the Spirit of God. We're Spirit-filled. And this whole chapter says it better than any other chapter that I know of, about being born again from God and having the Spirit of Christ in us. And so now as new creations, spirit beings, we can lay hold of all the promises of God. So by the time we get here, Paul's like, okay, I've told you about this. I've told you about this. I've told you about this. It's all really amazing, but there's one last thing we got to get to, and that's your thinking. And how the devil will mess with you as you go through tough times, and he'll try to convince you that you're not doing it enough, you're not doing it quite right, oh, you overdid it, you did too much. Who is it that can accuse you? No one. I mean, the devil does, but to actually, for me to bring an accusation against someone, don't I need proof? At least two witnesses, two or more witnesses, and proof. I have been called not guilty by Jesus. So if anybody wanted to try to accuse me or anybody wanted to try to condemn me, it'd have to be Jesus Christ. But I already made all the prerequisites. So did you guys. If you're born again and you put your faith in Christ and you repented of your sins, you asked for forgiveness of your sins and you put your faith to God, boom. Every accusation is silenced. No one can condemn you now. Now we're talking about eternal life with God. And it's just as big as what we just read about when Paul's trying to say, it's bigger than this and that, it's bigger than this and that, it's bigger than that and that. It's more than this and more than that, more than everybody's ever been created, anything is ever going to come. It's too big for me to describe. Running out of words. It's just what Paul says. It's awesome. There's In all the study that I was doing of this, and I really appreciate Lois and what she said today. She must have did a lot of the same stream of studying. But there's a word that has been translated into two different words, but it's actually the exact same word in the original languages, and that's overcomer and conqueror. Sometimes you hear them used here, sometimes you hear it used there. It's the exact same word. It's just when we put it into English, people thought that overcomer would work better there. Oh, this verse, yeah, we'll put conqueror in that verse over there. That sounds better over there. It's the same exact word. They both come from the same root word. It's a root word that you all know. You know very well. You've seen thousands of the commercials of this product that hijacked this word about overcomer and conqueror. It's on about a third of the tennis shoes in the world. Nike. Nike literally means victory. In the most pure form, it literally means a glorious victory. It was used first off in the original Olympics, in the early Olympics, when somebody finally won, that one person had a glorious victory. God says we're walking out a glorious victory in Jesus Christ. You're more than a conqueror. You're more than an overcomer. In Christ Jesus, we are overcomers. There's like 50 different verses that I found that use this word, all describing us, born-again Christians, after we accept Jesus. All of us are running the Nike. And I hate that they hijacked that word because it's an awesome word, and it's awesome what it means. It's awesome what was in God's heart to describe us. It's kind of like the rainbow, how it got hijacked. But in its purest sense, every single rainbow, everywhere in the world that anyone's going to look at that, every single rainbow declares the faithfulness of God and how he keeps a promise. That's what a rainbow really means. So how about this? Every time we see a Nike, whether it's in our closet, whether it's in the mirror we're looking at, whether it's somebody just going down the road, or it's another one of their commercials, let's thank God that we have the Nike. Maybe I don't wear Nikes, but I got the Nike inside me. It's the glorious victory of Jesus Christ. Look at verses 37 and 38. Yet in all these things, he just went through all the stuff that messes with us and the stuff that comes against us, the struggles that we fight through. Verse 37. Yet in all these things, we're more than conquerors. We're more than Nikes through him who loved us. We have more than a glorious victory through him who loves us. For I am persuaded, I'm completely convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor devils, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's nothing that compares to the love of God which is showcased in the death of Jesus Christ, his son, for each one of us. There's nothing that compares to that. And that's what we all have through Jesus Christ. Wow. Literally means nothing. I like how he says, he describes all these things, then nor any other created thing. So just in case he left something off the list that me or you are struggling with, he basically says there's nothing outside of God. God wasn't created, right? God's uncreated. God is God. He's always been. So here's God. Everything else over here, nothing else created can separate us from God. So if there's something that he left off the list earlier, he got it with that one. It's awesome. I just love how he goes to such an extent to convince me personally of the things that God does for each one of us. So in all of these things, now I'm going to start closing, and I want to read some of these verses that have either the overcomer or the conqueror or the things that are given to us. This is just a short list, by the way. We'd be here till noon if I'd have read every one of them that I came up with. But just listen to these things. Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, that's us walking in his glorious victory, to him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And now earlier I was saying, you know, if you could remember some of your testimonies, the good things that God's done for each one of us, some of the things that we are eyewitnesses to God's faithfulness in our lives, talk that out, remind yourself of that. I also want to encourage you to try to picture what this is going to look like for you personally in heaven when Jesus gives you some of the tree of life to eat. This is what the Bible says is going to happen to us in the midst of paradise when we're in heaven. He's going to take some kind of fruit off the tree of life, and he's going to hand it to you to take a bite of and have some of that. What's that going to look like? Revelation 2:17. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat. And I will give him a white stone. And on the stone, a new name written, which no one knows except for him who receives it. So when you're in heaven, just these first two verses, I got three more I'm going to read. Just these first two, in heaven, we're going to walk with Jesus. We're going to walk up to Jesus. He's going to be standing by this tree. He's going to take a piece of this fruit down, whatever it looks like, and hand it to us. We're going to take a bite of the tree of life in heaven. I don't know what that's going to taste like. He's also going to hand us some kind of a little tablet. No, not that kind of tablet. A rock tablet. A stone, if you will, maybe like what a piece of shale would look like. And he's carved a new name for you on it. And he's going to hand you that thing with that name, and only you and him are going to know his special name for you. While you're still chewing, you're wiping some of the juice off your chin, and he hands you that thing, and you're reading, and you're like, oh, that's amazing. That is who I am. You use that one word or that phrase, and I know that's who I am. That's how you create. It's going to resonate through and through. Mine is not going to say Mike. I know that for sure. That name is going to be amazing, and I'm going to know that he knows that I know that he knows that I know he called it. And that is what it means to me. How about this next one? Revelation 3:5. He who overcomes, walking in that glorious victory, he who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments. And I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Okay? So we're in the garden. Imagine the garden. Hold on a second. How do we skip past this garden? How many different trees are in this garden? What does this smell like? What are the flowers on these trees? What about that fruit? What about that? What is that? Well, hold on a second. Oh, my gosh. This is so amazing. And then he hands this thing. Right? He hands you this stone. You're looking at it. Wow. And all of a sudden, you've got new clothes, and they're white. They're whiter than anything you've ever seen in your whole life. And then Jesus promises to you. He says, look it. I will never, ever, ever take your name out of my book of life. Whew. Come on, man. This is so amazing to me. Jesus says, watch this. I'm going to confess your name before my Father and before his angels. So does he announce us? He says, here's this name. You got this name. So I'm holding the book, the piece of this tablet in this hand, and I got this in this hand, and I'm kind of watching. I'm trying not to spill on my new white clothes. And then Jesus comes to his Father, and the angel says, here's the saint called, and he says my name. What do the angels react? I don't know. Then comes Andy. I'm like, oh, I got to watch this one. I know him. I know him. Yeah, but he ain't Andy anymore. Watch this. Here's his name. Whew. We think too much about this world. Sometimes we just got to daydream and try to picture what heaven is. Now, obviously, I'm using my imagination of what heaven would look like. Read your own Bible. Come up with your own best guess of what you think that's going to look like for you personally when you go to heaven. Because for sure you're going to heaven if you're born again in Jesus. Whew. Revelation 3:12. He who overcomes walks in that victorious victory, that glorious victory. He who overcomes, I'll make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I'll write on him my new name. I don't even know what all that stuff is, but there sure is some kind of a personal relationship where he earmarks me. He brands me. He shows to everybody in heaven and earth, in the New Jerusalem, anybody that might be out of it, any devil, any angel, I don't care where you are. All of a sudden, he's going to show you that Mike Young is a pillar in the house of God. Pillars never move. Pillars never waver. Pillars bring security and their support. They hold things up. Here's Mike Young. Got another bite on the hole in my stone. I'm still trying to take all this stuff. He announces my name and he says, check this guy out. He's part of the building. He's part of what I'm building into eternity. Right? I don't think I'm missing too much. What's your interpretation? What would you say this is? Revelations 3:21. All of these are only out of the first three of 21 chapters in the book of Revelation. This is just the first three chapters. You could, by the way, just Google verses in the Bible that have overcomer. Verses in the Bible that have conqueror in it. And see what you find. You'll be shocked. Revelation 3:21. To him who overcomes, who walks in this glorious victory, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Now, I need help. I'll be honest. I need help with the Holy Spirit for me to picture me, Mike Young, being redeemed enough to be able to go in heaven and sit next to Jesus Christ himself. Does that blow your mind or what? It's in the Bible. I just gave you chapter and verse. It's in the Bible. So we're going to go up there. We're going to get fruit handed to us by Jesus. We're going to get some of that hidden manna handed to us by Jesus. We're going to get a new name written on a stone for us to be able to hold forever as he announces that name to heaven. And after all this is done, he announces we are important to what he's building in the New Jerusalem. We are pillars. We're important. We're not going anywhere. And this is part of what everything's going to get built on. Then he says, now why don't you come on over here and sit down next to me and my dad. That's just the first three chapters. Now, what were we thinking about? Oh, yeah, it was hot down here yesterday, and it's still kind of hot here today. And that one guy at work, is he a jerk. I got to go meet him. Don't let that stuff distract us. Amen? We overcome. We walk in this glorious victory, two things, by the blood of the Lamb, which is where we get everything else, and then by the word of our testimony. So let's start testifying. If you need, I'll go out to coffee with you. I'll go out to lunch with you. I'll just meet you in my office. We can drink in some bottled water. And we can brag to each other about how good God's been to us. It is that easy. It is that simple. Somehow we got to stir up faith in ourselves. Because regardless of what results might look like, these results from yesterday, whatever, or the results, if you look at your family right now and you're thinking, yeah, but he's not where he should be and she's not, and you're looking at your spouse going, oh, Lord Jesus, don't let the devil mess with you. Remind yourself of the faithfulness God has. You know how much he loves you and how much he's eager to help you in every situation, every tribulation, every distress? The size of Jesus Christ who went to the cross for us. That's how much he wants to help each one of us. Amen? Well, I'm going to pray for us, and then I'll release us. You know, it might be just a good idea, maybe catch somebody before you leave today and just go, you know what, I just want to tell you one good thing God did for me. I'll give you the Reader's Digest version. If you want to hear the whole thing, we'll have to do lunch. And then just give them the 90-second version of something amazing God's done. Well, Heavenly Father, I just shared a little bit about the victory that you've given us. And Lord, the word still kind of catches in my mouth when I try to say Nike because I've just been so pre-programmed by this world down here. But you invented Nike. You're the one that declared Nike over our lives, and somebody hijacked it. So, Lord, right now, I just pronounce Nike over this congregation. Nike over every single person. Nike over every single marriage. Nike over every single home. Nike over this family, God. And, Lord, we don't look around to see what people say about approval ratings, about any of this other stuff. Lord, we're going to look up because we are more than conquerors. We are more than overcomers. We have been given a victory that is just glorious in Jesus Christ. And Lord, we look forward to the day that we'll be in heaven and we won't have to wonder how close Pastor Mike was when he described this or that, or we'll look at things and not even recognize it compared to what Pastor Mike said because it's so much more glorious. Lord, we look forward to that day. Lord Jesus, when we see you face to face. Lord God Almighty, when we see you face to face. Holy Spirit, when we see you in the form of whatever you look like, we'll be able to see you when we're there in perfect spirit beings. We look forward to it, and we set our eyes on the prize in serving you faithfully and being overcomers by the the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of our testimony. So, Lord, would you please touch each and every person that's here today? Would you renew them with great strength? Would you refresh them with your Spirit? Would you bring great joy upon all of us, great peace upon all of us? So, Lord, we can go out and do where this all started this morning in that first song, that we can know you more and we can make you known more to those around us. We ask this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And, Lord, before we cut out of here, Lord, before we wrap this up, I just want to lift up Gerilyn and her medical procedure tomorrow. Lord, we don't have any visitors here. It's just family here today. So we just lift her up to you, and we pray that you would touch her body even now, that you would strengthen her, that you would encourage her. We pray for divine healing, Lord. I pray that you would just supernaturally heal her today. She wouldn't even need anything tomorrow. And, Lord, if you choose not to do that, then I pray that you would supernaturally steer and guide, direct every doctor, every technician, every nurse, anybody to everybody, even they're just peeking in that room and then they got some say, or they're in during the procedure. I just pray that you would guide them so they see what they need to see, that their hands do what they're supposed to do, and that she is completely healed from this procedure now. Lord, I bless their whole family, the Anderson family, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So God bless everybody, and we'll either see you across the hall or we'll see you later this week.